It's time to tune in, turn on, and find your groove with Lynn Brunette, CEO of the Crave Radio Network on Bold Radio Station. As a personal power coach and speaker, Lynn brings you the best strategies, stories, and people that will inspire you to dump your junk so you can tap into the rhythm of your life. And now, she's sassy, she's soulful, and she's your host, Lynn Brunette.
Oh, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Find Your Groove. And you are in for a treat because we are going to have some music later in the show because my fabulous guest joining me today, Andrea Lee Fisher, is not only an intuitive astrologer and a spiritual coach, she also performs with her husband and musical partner as the Outback Gypsies. Don't you love that name? They tour throughout Australia and the United States. So you are in for a treat to listen to that and to get the wisdom and the nuggets of learning that I always get from my guests. You're going to get that today. She is an agent of change, and I'm not sure where, I don't even remember where I met Andrea, but that's the beautiful thing about the online world is we can meet people from all over, and I'm so excited for this show. So Andrea is absolutely an agent of change, and her passion is really to support others in connecting to their higher dimensional self and live life according to their own rules. Yes, yes, yes. And if you'd like to know more about Andrea, you can find her online at outbackgypsies.com.au. So welcome, Andrea. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Lynn. And it's such a blessing and honor to be here. So thanks for having me.
Oh, you are so, so welcome. And I'm so excited because I know what led me to you now. I remember, I don't know if it was in some, I think it was in a Facebook group, you had posted a video of, or a recording of one of your songs. And I listened to it, and it drew me in. And I wanted to know more because I loved the words that I heard. And I think that's how we connected. It was your music that connected. And that's so what music does, doesn't it? It connects us heart to heart and soul to soul.
Absolutely, it does. And that's exactly why I love it too, Lynn, because, you know, we get to go out into the world and open up that space for people to be drawn in, and it creates like this bubble around us. And I think that's such an amazing experience for both, you know, the listener and the performer. Us as a performer, so you know, we then have that ability to write into the songs specific lyrics that are going to create that beautiful relationship between us and the world. So I really love it. It's so magical.
Yeah. So how long has Outback Gypsies, I love that name, how long has Outback Gypsies been creating this and putting this magic out into the world?
Well, we've been creating together formally for the last 5 years, which is not that long. But Dells and my story goes way back to when we were both teenagers, when we first met, which I was 13 and I'm now 47.
Oh.
He was 16. So it's kind of been brewing for a long time, really, you know, over several decades. But way back then, you know, when we were teenagers, we both loved music and played guitar together, just, you know, at parties and around campfires. And, yeah, so the passion for music was ignited then. And, you know, even our connection together as friends and what that's culminated into being married began way back then. So it's been a long love affair, really.
So is that what you turn to in those times where you feel that things are off for you or that are maybe not, you know, when we find ourselves a little bit in a funk, is that how you you know, find your groove, so to speak? Do you turn to that music?
Yes. Yeah, I do. I do. That music keeps me connected to really who I am, you know, on that deeper core level. Because even, you know, as I mentioned, when I was much younger, I would tend to go into my bedroom and just play my guitar and sing. And so, sure, it was definitely supportive in that process of emotionally navigating my life. And it still does now, you know. I mean, when I do my greatest songwriting, it's often during those times where I'm doing some really deep processing.
Yeah, I've a lot of musicians have said that I, you know, if I've read articles or seen documentaries, it's usually in those tough times that the best music comes. I guess because the same as those tough times is really where the best of us shines, that we really pull out the resourcefulness within ourselves, and in that growth is how the best of ourselves shines. So I guess it would be the same for music, and writing music is during those times that we're feeling disconnected or off or, you know, out of our own personal groove.
Yeah, I tend to think of it as, you know, it's like the doorway into another world that kind of lifts us and also pushes us to expand. So even though we might be feeling a little challenged in a way, you know, and mm-hmm. out of sorts, we're also opening ourselves to becoming elevated. You know, we're connecting to, when I'm doing my songwriting, I'm connecting to the divine source. And so it's expanding me in that sense, and I'm accessing another world, so to speak, you know, that I don't necessarily, I'm quite connected most of the time to that realm. So I tend to live my life based on being connected to spirit. So, you know, the more that I do that, I'm able to bring that through into my songwriting. And of course, that's the platform that I want to connect with listeners in terms of when we're playing our music. Because there's a lot of people out there that don't have the opportunity to be still in their life, you know, and
true.
I tend to, yeah, have the opportunity to do that a lot, which I'm quite, you know, grateful for. So, yeah.
So does it just strike you, or do you actually set aside time to write, or is there a ritual that you do? I think it's probably quite unique for everybody, and I find it so interesting, so fascinating. I know for myself, creatively, there are certain times that I'm more conducive to create, to do things in my work and projects that I do. I would imagine that it's not something you can force. So can you set aside time, or does it just hit you and you have to grab that moment, seize that moment when it comes?
Yeah, I do that exactly the way you've described it, Lynn. I just, you know, seize the moment. I can feel it coming in. I'll say to Del, you know, I can feel a song coming. It's like going through a birthing process, really, you know. I can feel a song coming. I remember actually when we were in the States and we toured the first time in 2013, and we were sitting beside this beautiful river and just playing our guitars, and I said to Del, quick, just grab a pen or pencil, anything you've got, because I can feel the lyrics of a song coming through, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't want to move because I was in that in the groove, you know, of birthing this new song, and that's often how it comes. And even my solo album, which I wrote after that tour, was it happened the same way. You know, I had a friend, a musician, who I was discussing the process of songwriting with, and I said to him, I'm not feeling very inspired, you know, and he said, look, how about I tune your guitar into a different tuning, Andrea, and just see if that inspires you to bring through anything new, any new material. And so he did that. And that seemed to be like a doorway, Lynn, into my album. And over that following 5 days, I wrote most of the material for the album. So it was beautiful process.
That's interesting. I was going to say, so is there a fear that those moments and times that I've heard it called a divine download, that they won't come or that they'll stop coming? Is there that fear that exists with songwriters?
Yeah, well, I think so, for me at least. And actually, it's funny that you asked me that, because last week we were driving in the car and I said to Del, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to write as beautiful songs as what I brought through for that album, Divine Evolution. And he looked at me and he said, of course you will. Of course you will, you know. But sure, I think that we all have that fear that, you know, we bring through something very beautiful and it is divinely guided, whether we're going to be able to do that again. So, you know, that all comes down to trust, doesn't it, really?
Yes, yes. Trusting and having faith and not strangleholding the process. I think it's that, just that trusting and that surrender that it will come when it needs to come.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think we all have a little bit of that fear in that when we're doing things like that, or when we're creating something that's to be out into the world to help other people, I think there is that underlying, I think we sort of, you know, we kind of, is that going to be able to come again? Are we going to be able, are we going to run out of ideas? And, but like you mentioned about tuning it to a different way, and we just need that little shift sometimes to just make the biggest difference, don't we?
Yes, yes. And even when I'm working one-on-one with people too, Lynn, you know, that process requires that I go totally into that place of surrender and trusting what's coming through me, because the sessions are very intuitively driven. And so, absolutely, you know, yeah, it requires that, you know, not just myself, but also the person that I'm working with is able to surrender to the process and receive what it is that's coming through the session as it comes.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that. We're just going to switch gears a little bit and talk about the work that you do. You're an intuitive astrologer and a spiritual coach. So for those listening, maybe let them know what exactly that is and how you use that to help people and how you work with people.
Sure. So basically the essence of being an intuitive coach is really, and I suppose I work hand in hand with astrology. So the entry point to those sessions is usually the natal chart. So I ask people to provide me with their birth details and then draw up their astrological blueprint, and then the session begins. I mean, I do, you know, prep work before I see the person, and that can take me into spending, say, even, you know, up to 2 or 3 hours of just studying what's going on for them currently with the transits, the planetary transits, and so I can see cycles that are triggered by studying those movements through their chart. And then once we hit the session, there's usually a point that really stands out to me in the chart, and unless they want to specifically start somewhere, which, you know, they'll give me an outline of what it is that's going on for them, I'll go straight into that place and intuitively be coming, you know, bringing through information and asking them questions, and then the session just gets driven just naturally from that starting place. So what I'm looking to do is pull out those poignant places that they might feel challenged by, you know, and they'll often be going through something significantly, and that's why they're having the session with me.
Mm-hmm.
That they're, you know, ready to transform. So, yeah.
So do you always start out working with somebody? Do you combine those two things? Does it always start with a chart, and that's so that gives you a little bit of foundation, or do people come to you just for an astrology reading to have their chart done, and or do you use them both hand in hand all the time?
Yeah, I find that the astrological element of it is a really valuable tool for me because I get a lot of insight. You know, I'm trained in astrology, so I get a lot of insight into the person's world, you know, from studying that aspect of it. But then I get clients that come to me that really don't necessarily, you know, have an interest in astrology, but also I might still use the tool, you know, asking for their birth details, but we will focus just on having a really fluid coaching session, you know, so we may not even refer to the chart during the session, but I know just from my own research, I've got that information running in the background, and there'll be trigger points that they might say to me, and I'll understand where that's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
As far as their birth chart goes. And, you know, mm-hmm. that just kind of helps me navigate, but they don't necessarily need to understand astrology to work with me.
Yeah, it's your tool. It's your tools of the trade, absolutely. I have a curiosity question. It's something that I've wondered about. If a child is due on a certain day, and so they're meant to be a certain astrological sign, and you know, things will be set up a certain way astrologically being due on that day, but for whatever reason they are born early, or they're you know, you have to have a cesarean section, and that child is born at a different time then, and it ends up being a different astrological sign, and things are different in the moment they're born. Which sign are they? The one that they were due to be born under, or the one that they were actually born under?
Well, I would answer that in saying the one that they're actually born under, not the one that they were due to be born under, because my belief is that the soul incarnates at that exact time, knowing what it needs, what the setup, like the astrological blueprint, it needs to be. And so the time that they incarnate physically, I mean, we're talking about a process here too, you know, that's like a 9 or 10 month process.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the soul that there's in the astrology world, you know, we can even discuss when is the actual point that the soul incarnates, because it's coming into, you know, its mother's womb before mm-hmm. it's born physically, and it's developing over that time. And so it's already being impacted by the climate, the astrological climate, before it's birthed physically, you know, through the birth canal and coming into our world. So it's being affected by those astrological energies even well before its physical birth.
Mm-hmm.
But your question as far as, you know, what I feel, I think that it's the sign that it's born with. So even if you know, you were, the doctor said to you, your baby's going to be born on the 10th of September, and it comes on the 1st of September, there's a reason for that. That's
yeah.
what I believe.
Yeah. See, I've always wondered that, because my son was due, when he was due, if he would have been born when he was due, would have been a Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to have him early by cesarean for medical reasons, and ended up being born under the sign of Aries.
Yes.
But I do find him more Taurus like than Aries.
Okay. Well, again, there's different things that we need to look at with that too, because you're probably generally talking about his sun sign just
yeah.
based on his day.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, we've got 10 planets, which includes the moon,
mm-hmm.
to make up the whole astrological imprint of, say, your sun, for instance. And you might find, if we looked at his chart, he could have, you know, other planets in Taurus, or he could have planets in the second house, which is the natural house of Taurus, or he could have lots of Scorpio planets, which is the opposite sign of Taurus. And so he's still drawing on that opposite energy of Taurus through his Scorpio planet. So there's a lot going on, you know, that we need to look at.
Yeah, and I do know that it goes a lot deeper than just, you know, your astrological sign that you were born under. I know I've had my chart done a couple times and have had, you know, some short readings. So I do know that it's way deeper than that, and rising sign and, you know, the different houses and things like that. So, but I was always curious, like, whether it was their due date or born date or what it was, because it's just so fascinating. But I hear what you're saying, and I would, you know, not being an expert in that, but that makes sense to me what you're saying, because I think when you are growing and that's coming about, that your path, I think, is already knows that that's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree, Lynn. I tend to have the same line of thinking there. You know, I sort of imagine, I mean, we incarnate too, you know, with our nodal points, the moon nodal points, the north and south node, it's called in astrology, and that really defines what karmic path and karmic lessons you've incarnated to master this lifetime. And so, you know, there's this whole galactic kind of astrological setup that I believe we choose before we even get here, and it's perfect for our soul. And, of course, you know, then we come in and do the work in the physical world, and that's, yeah, the beauty of, you know, what we're challenged with during our lives, isn't it, really?
Yes. So what can people learn about themselves by having their chart done?
Well, I suppose that the first thing that I like to impart is their gifts. So that's something that I tend to focus on at the beginning of the chart, is what it is that they've brought, you know, what type of energy, what we just talked about, the type of energy that they're working with, and what that means in terms of, you know, the path that they walk and what it is that they've got to offer the world. So their gifts is one thing that I like to focus on. And then, of course, alongside that are the challenges that they're faced with as well. And often that can be uncovered by looking at the North Node path, because when we incarnate into a North Node sign that is the opposite sign of how we've lived many past lives. And so the opposite sign, or the South Node, is the sign that we're often familiar with and will tend to want to fall back onto in this life. And it will be that territory where we go, I feel really comfortable here. Whereas the North Node is the sign that we're not so comfortable in, and that we want to develop those qualities. So that's another aspect, and it's quite a deep topic, you know, in the chart that we can look at. But other than that, I think that one of the things that I really love to focus on too, Lynn, is just you know, what their life path is, and what they see as their highest vision for their life, and how they can further walk toward that.
Which is something that everybody seeks. What is their path? Why are they here? What are they meant to do? Where's their place in this world? I think so many people are lost with. I would imagine it's very grounding for people to understand this, and for someone else to see it and reflect it back to them, that it definitely makes a difference, either helping them to finally see or to affirm what it is they've been feeling, but they're so unsure. That it does affirm for them, okay, yes, you're heading in the right direction, just keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's often what I hear from the clients that I work with. You know, the thing that I love about working with either individuals or even groups is to just watch the energy within them rise up, you know, from the beginning of the session, because sometimes they might come in and feel quite burdened by, you know, the emotions that they're going through. But by the time that we finish the session or the group work, they're feeling quite elevated, and renewed in a sense and inspired and clearer, so they gain a sense of clarity and focus in their direction, which I just love. I mean, mm-hmm. It's quite a beautiful, as you know, working with people, it's quite a beautiful process to witness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is it something that you've always, have you always known yourself to be intuitive? Or what was that like? How has that played a role in your life?
Initially, when I was younger, that part of me, I've suppose now got the beauty of being able to reflect back, but it kind of took me into a world where I'd spend a lot of time on my own as a younger person, mm-hmm. growing up. I really loved being alone, and I loved being outside in nature and just connecting to those natural energies. And so I did that quite a lot. And, I was quite okay with doing that too. I didn't feel that I desired to be amongst all the action, because I was in a family of three children. And so I had siblings that were more outgoing than I am. But I kind of loved that I was just able to withdraw and, be on my own and read books and just spend time outside, under the stars. I used to spend a lot of time actually outside at night time too, when I was allowed to. Mm. So it was just really like a gentle unfolding when, it was kind of like meeting somebody and then getting to know them. My intuition, that's how I would describe my relationship with my intuition, and it's still an ongoing relationship where, the more that I open to it, the more it shows me and reveals to me, and the depth just strengthens, by my being open to receiving what it is that, the gifts that my intuition brings. So it's quite a beautiful process, really.
And how did the coaching come into it for you? How did you bring that together with your intuitive abilities?
I had a meltdown, during my Saturn return, which was about 27, I had a corporate crash and burn. So
hear about those often.
Yeah, exactly. I was kind of grateful to have mine quite young, really, mm-hmm. Because I knew that I had greater work to do in the world. And so I stepped into the corporate world when I was 17. And
wow,
10 years in, I was like, yep, I'm done here. And although I really loved my work and I was good at my work, and that was under the accounting industry. So
oh, wow. I was working with... What a difference from what you do now.
Absolutely. Well, the one thing that I kind of brought along with me was working with numbers. I've always loved the vibration of numbers, and of course astrology involves lots of numbers and... calculations, and that was the one thing that I loved in the accounting world, was that I was just working with numbers all the time, and I didn't know it then, but numbers have quite a powerful vibration in themselves. So I had this breakdown, which led to my breakthrough, and that was entering my astrology studies, and that led me into the world of working with other people. So I spent 2 years formally studying with someone in Oregon, and after I completed that, I decided that that's what I wanted to do, and started to work one-on-one with others, and then stepped into teaching astrology, and it just kind of snowballed from there. But then, I changed gears. Well, I was on that path for quite some time, and so, of course, I tried out different modalities too. I studied cellular healing in Slovenia in 2009, and just added to my toolbox what I could bring to my clients. But then I changed shift gears when I met Del again, because Del and I weren't in contact all of that time. And so once we reunited in 2009, my music came to the fore again and I stepped into that world.
Mm. So can you work with people virtually or is it in person?
Both, Lynn. So okay. Virtually, I do a lot of sessions via Skype and also in person.
Okay. Isn't that just, it's so awesome that we can do that? That we can meet these people and that we can help so many more people than just those that are in our own backyard. That's what I love about this, is that the people that you meet and the connections that you make, that it's a big world, but it's a small world. And the more we meet more people and people that I find that I work with, and I'm sure you do too, is that we're just so much more alike than we are different.
Absolutely. And it's such a joy too, isn't it, that we can connect with someone across the other side of the world and feel that heart connection.
Mm-hmm.
So deeply. And it can happen in seconds too, you know. You can just hear someone's voice and you just know that you're aligning, you know, you're bringing together a sense of knowingness. Like, you know, I know you and I know your soul and I feel you, you know. I feel who you are. So, yeah, I feel extremely blessed. We're all very blessed.
Yeah. It's just such an amazing thing, and I'm just so grateful that I get to connect with people, especially through my show, new things that people are doing all the time. There's some amazing people in this world. Do our lives transcend our charts? You know, all the things that we've done and the experiences that we have, does that show in someone's chart?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. And, of course, yes, definitely. We move beyond our chart too, so it's quite an interesting journey, you know, when you embark upon the study of astrology, because when we come into, say, this lifetime and we're able to look at our natal chart, we can see into our past, we can have a look at the and really astrology, if we break it down, astrology is really just about energy and like an energy imprint or template, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And each sign, you know, has its own characteristics and flavor. And so when we look at the chart, yes, we can definitely look at where we've come from, and that's often determined, as I mentioned earlier, through the north nodes, but also the directional points in our chart too. So the IC, which is right down the bottom of our chart, the southern point, shows by sign and house where we've come from. And I'm talking about past lives, you know, the type of energy that we've worked with in a past life, what we're working with this lifetime and beyond this lifetime too, because, you know, we don't live a long life at this stage. You know, we may only on average live between 85, you know, 87 years old, and it's not very long to do our karmic lessons.
No, I would imagine not.
No.
Do you have now with the world that you came from, the corporate world, and with the work that you do, I would imagine usually, and I'm quite similar as you, as having that breakdown moment, which was absolutely the breakthrough. So grateful for that time. Do you have a philosophy now by which you live?
Yes, my philosophy is to live in alignment with what is true and right for your heart. And everything to me stems from that. If you're embodying and embracing that core truth, that the essence of who you are. And that takes a lot of courage to do that, you know, quite frightening, because we go through cycles as well, you know, and we get pushed to expand ourselves further and further out into the world, which also means that we have to reconstruct our inner worlds and our emotional bodies, you know, to become in alignment with that. So we're constantly being asked to transform. So if I think the one navigational point for me that's profound and extremely precious is that we live in alignment with our own truth, and then everything else falls into place around that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the... I'll preface it with this. I have come to believe and know that from people that I've worked with and seen, that when someone is low, like when they've sort of hit rock bottom, I find that the source of that is spiritual disconnect. So that's, you know, growing, personal growth, and contributing beyond themselves, to their neighborhood, to the world. Do you find that?
Yes, yes, absolutely. I'm just, as you're speaking, I was just recalling a conversation that I had yesterday, and this particular person is right at that point, you know, where she's hitting ground zero, so to speak. And she said to me that she feels really angry, you know, and frustrated with what's happening. But at the same time, which was interesting, she's quite grateful that she's going through this. And so what we identified together was, you know, this is part of, as you mentioned, the breakdown, which leads to her breaking through into a whole nother level of taking her gifts out to the world.
Uh-huh.
So she's able to, once she processes and goes through this, which is the difficult time, but beyond that, you know, she's going to be able to extend herself and offer her arms and hands out into the world on a much kind of more elevated level, where she, you know, she feels safe to do that. And that's the whole process of evolution to me. You know, we go through these continual cycles of transformation, which requires that breakdown and shifting through the psyche. You know, we're going into the realm of Hades. So it's that dark place that we don't know how to navigate it, and it's quite scary, isn't it? Really,
yeah. It is. And I think there is a process, as you mentioned, sort of like, you know, the grieving process. I think there's a similar thing with the whole change process as well. There's things that you will go through as you come out the other side. And it's not necessarily pretty or fun or anything, but so worth it on the other side.
Yeah.
And I can see how your intuitive astrology can be somewhat of a lifeline, actually, to somebody who may be finding themselves in that position, feeling like that tool would be a lifeline to them to have a grander vision. I think sometimes people don't see a vision for themselves, so they don't see a point in working through that. So I think what a great tool that would be to start off with people.
It is, Lynn. I think that's a beautiful description of it too, really, a lifeline, because that's almost visually how I see myself working. You know, it's like I just hold them, you know, in that space and bring through, it's like bringing through the light, you know, it's cracking open into the darkness, which is where they are, uh-huh. and bringing through this light force that helps them to kind of lift. It's all about, you know, raising their vibration and lifting their energy so that they're able to see beyond that dark place, you know, that they're in or and may have been in for quite a long time, you know.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the story of the, are you familiar with the story of the Golden Buddha?
No.
Oh. That is a story that absolutely represents the part of ourselves that shining, when you said about cracking, having a crack so the light can come through the crack. I won't go, it's a long story. I won't go into it. So I will leave that gift to you, curiosity, to go and learn about the Golden Buddha that goes way, way back. And it is such a neat, cool story. And
it sounds beautiful.
Yeah, it's exactly what, so it takes place back in Thailand, I think, and a Golden Buddha that was being hidden and the way they did it and how it was discovered. So it's a wonderful analogy for people who maybe don't see that sparkle within themselves. So go find that and you can check that out afterwards. It's really neat. It's a really great story to share with people that are struggling, that maybe don't see themselves as anything valuable or worthwhile, or that there's a spark within themselves. It's a great story to share with people. So yeah, I want to hear what you think of that after you go in and read about it. It's really, really neat.
Thanks. So, that sounds beautiful.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, so to work with people, can they reach you if they want to talk to you about, you know, get a little bit more information or have an astrology session and find out their chart and all this stuff? They can reach you through, is it Work With Andrea?
Yes, that's right.
Workwithandrea.com?
Oh, no. No, no. If they go to the Outback Gypsies website, there's a tab on the top of the site called Work With Andrea.
Oh, okay. And so that's outbackgypsies.com.au. For those of you listening, you can go there and listen to some great music and buy albums and also find out how you can work with Andrea. So I want to play this great song. Oh, I wanted to ask you about this before we play this song. I've listened to this song, but, you know, with the attacks on Paris and all these crazy things that are going on in the world, how does that affect you?
Well, actually, the morning that I woke up to that, after that had happened, I was quite, I felt the energy, you know, the worldwide energy of what had happened in Paris, and I was really quite distressed and angry, you know, and I didn't know why because I hadn't heard the news, and I thought, gee, why am I feeling like this? So, you know, it's interesting how that butterfly effect of people don't really understand or remember, you know, that when something happens, violence happens in the world, that ripples out to all of us. And so even if we don't hear the news, it's affecting us energetically. So, yeah, that I felt that quite deeply. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, this song that we're going to listen to, it's called All Life is Precious. And I returned to that song whenever I hear it, and I don't actually listen to the news because I don't want to kind of feed that energy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah, so the song that we're going to listen to, it's called All Life is Precious, and the original version on the website is actually 7 minutes, but the one we're going to listen to is the radio edit, and mm-hmm. it's essentially about us connecting to how all life is precious, and it doesn't matter whether that's, you know, the life of an ant or a human being or even off-planetary life. You know, we are all connected, and I think that the more we can embrace that and honor that as, you know, it's the divine creative force, and I feel, you know, to be in awe of that because that's what gives us life and who we are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All life is precious. I wish we could collectively get that and that we could see an elimination of things like this. But all we can do is keep doing like what you're doing with this music and trust and keep moving forward and give that helping hand and compassion. I think compassion is something that is so huge in things like this and like the with the Syrian refugees. And I think compassion is what keeps coming back to my mind all the time.
Yes, I agree, Lynn. Compassion is probably the most important thing that we all connect to.
Yeah. So you're in for a treat, everybody. So we're going to listen to All Life is Precious by the Outback Gypsies. Actually, this is a solo album. This is your solo album called Divine Evolution. So sit back, enjoy these few minutes of listening to All Life is Precious. Beautiful. I've listened to this song so many times, and it just gets better every time I listen to it. Amazing, Andrea. Amazing.
Thanks, Lynn. I think that, you know, when you work with the Creator, you just access this perfection. It's just beautiful.
You can't go wrong.
I'm glad.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you can't go wrong.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful. So I just want to leave with one thing, not really a question, but I'd like to ask you to finish this sentence for me as we are wrapping up. Andrea Lee Fisher is?
Expansively happy.
I love that. I love that.
That's how I feel right now. Expansively nice. Happy. Yeah.
That creates a great, beautiful picture. Thank you so much for taking this time and joining me on my show. I so appreciate I appreciate you sharing your music and your gifts and your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Lynn. It's been a beautiful time talking with you. And, I look forward to talking with you more.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing what else you're going to put out there and share with all of us. So for those of you listening, again, be sure to visit her website at outbackgypsies.com.au. And you can find out how you can work with Andrea and about their music. And can people purchase music from that site?
Yes, they can purchase. We have 3 albums. One of them sold out. So we have 2 physical albums, but 3 albums that are available for download.
Nice.
And
will you be touring soon?
We're looking at coming back over to the States June next year, and I'm putting together a retreat as well. So,
Nice.
So that's going to be fun. And I haven't finalized the location, but possibly in Arizona. So,
Great place for a retreat. Great.
Absolutely.
Nice. Yes. Well, I look forward to all of that. And for those of you listening, again, that song that we played is All Life is Precious off Andrea's solo album, Divine Evolution. Again, her website is outbackgypsies.com.au. And this show will be recorded and available on my website, lynnbrunette.com. And I will have the links to Andrea's website and all that great stuff, so you can reach out to her and if you have any questions about something that she said or how you can work with her, please do that. And again, thank you so much, Andrea, and thank you everybody for joining me today. And please do reach out to Andrea if you have any questions at all. Go listen to more of her music. It's fantastic. And I want to thank my team, my producer, Damien, and all of my listeners. If you have a question or anything or ideas or know someone that should be on my show, please get in touch with me on my website. Until next time, remember, you, my dear, have the power. Thank you, Andrea. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Find Your Groove. The good stuff doesn't end here, though. See what else Lynn has for you over at lynnbrunette.com.